But wait, there's more. This is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Thursday morning this morning, as usual. It's Thursday morning. Every time it's Thursday morning, it's Thursday morning. Not sure exactly why I have so much, some kind of, I don't know what's going on. Yesterday morning, it did not seem like I had as much. Oh, I know what happened. The volume got turned up on my monitor. That's interesting. So why am I so loud this morning? I'm not loud. It's my monitor. You're not heavy. Anyway, you're not loud. So they have, we have, the Democrats now, the media, news media on the left is, apparently they've, invented some new yoga moves because they're doing some all kinds of crazy yoga to try to get out of this whole thing with the Hunter Biden, or not the Hunter Biden, well, the Hunter Biden thing too, but the Biden classified document issue. Now, I have some questions about this whole thing. It's very strange. And I think there needs to be, obviously needs to be an investigation of this whole thing. How classified, well, I'll get into it later. I just have a lot of questions. And people should have a lot of questions. Because frankly, this is very strange, questionable behavior here. So, they're trying to play it off like, oh, this just happens all the time. Oh, just an accident. Oh, I'm fully cooperating, whatever. Well, we'll get into that later on. Some other things that have happened recently, I want to get into this whole thing, this story about the ovens or the stoves. Banning gas stoves now. We're going to ban gas stoves. Future purchases of gas stoves. this is the ridiculous, again, science. This is science. The science says this. We have to get rid of. And then you find out there's actually a company behind all this stuff. And that's why, it's a good case study. I think we're going to bring this up because it's not because the story itself is necessarily all that impactful, but it's a good case study on how this kind of thing happens, how the politics of this whole thing works, and how the machine works that's in front of us. So those of you who are educated and want to be eyes wide open in this kind of stuff, we will explore this a little bit further. In the meantime, this is I'll tell you what's in my cup here shortly. We have that's the big cup segment that I know most of you tune in for. We have this morning, there's a lot of other issues going on as well. Of course, now we might talk about Buttigieg a little bit. Just to, you know, because of the whole transportation debacle that happened yesterday. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. In the meantime, we will probably talk about what's in my cup. So let's just go straight to the cup segment, shall we? We're just going to go straight to that. I have in my hand here the cup which has my chai in it. It has chai and Cinnabon creamer, of course. I brought it along with me. It's just like being home, only I'm not. Which is sad. Now, today I'll be going home this evening. I'll be driving home late tonight. Hopefully, getting in before too late. And can you guys hear that when I tap on the? That does make sound. I can actually see it there. It's actually it's showing up on the meter when I'm tapping my fingers. I'll try to stop doing that because it's probably annoying for you to listen to that. Or maybe I'll just keep doing it. I've never been one to not try to annoy somebody. I kind of do it naturally anyway. I seem to have a talent for that. You know, even when I'm not even thinking about it, I have a way of annoying people. It's just like a gift I have. So I might as well go with it. A couple cups here I have with me. I have my chai with my Cinnabon creamer, and then I also have a backup cup. I have my Chesed cup with me this morning. I just have sweet tea. It's Milo's sweet tea, which is actually purchased from a local grocery store here. Not local, at home. I brought it along. That's the nice thing about traveling, driving someplace to a location. I tend to pack food and all kinds of things and stuff, you know, hobbies. My welder, my plasma table cutter, metal cutter table, grinders. Cutting wheels. There's a Harbor Freight store here, not too far away either. So I can, when I'm not doing anything, I just go over there and run around like a kid in a candy store. I'll just take one of those and one of those and five of those and 12 of those because they're all dollar a piece. So I might as well just grab everything. They love it when I come to town here. And there's a Costco as well. So I had to take a swath. I had to get gas. So I went to Costco for gas and it's right there. So I walked through the store and found a couple trinkets to pick up there as well. I'll tell you about those later, maybe on a later show. Maybe I'll start getting sponsored by some of these products. I don't know. Maybe Costco will sponsor me. I doubt it. My other cup has a Milo's tea and also has a little bit of, I think what I put in that one, in my thermos, I put in V8 Fusion and tea, that's what I take with me to the office. And I went in my Hesed cup here, which is just for lounging. I'm pretty sure I put my apple cider in there. It's tea, sweet tea and apple cider in that one. Kind of a blend of things. So I got up this morning, had my workout. It is actually, by the way, it's 8:38 Central Time, which means it's 9:38. Well, now it's 9:39 Eastern Time on a Thursday morning, January 12th. For some reason, yesterday I was thinking yesterday was the 12th. I don't know why. I get these notifications when I'm I get this ACH payment from this one company I work for here, so I get that on the 15th and the 30th, obviously. So, my bank actually lets me know if I look on my account online, I can see what's pending and the account, the deposit that's pending. And I happened to look on there and saw that my deposit was pending on the 13th. I thought, I don't usually get paid on Thursdays. And I realized it was the 11th, so I'm not going to get paid till tomorrow. It's a little higher than I had expected. And I'm not sure why. I know that they talked about increasing pay rates across the board for this year. I thought the pay, I had a little bit more last month, and I thought that that was the pay rate. I thought that was the pay raise, but maybe I just had worked more. I don't know. And this week, this check is significantly higher. Now, I did do some overtime last month, so I worked well over my contracted amount, and they pay me for that. So, because they are they do pay. You have to watch what they do, because they're always making mistakes in the wrong direction. They never make mistakes in the right direction. They never overpay you. So, little check coming in tomorrow there, and then I'll have another check in the month. I'm going to be changing my obligations to a different company soon. A little bit of uncertainty and a little bit of trepidation about it, because I don't really know anybody in management there. When I came to this company to work for them, it was a company I had worked for back in the early part of the century. Actually, I started at the end of last century, and I had worked for this company for about 7 years full time, and there's still people here that I knew. So when I walked in the door, I was already familiar with people that I knew who they were. I had a working relationship with these people, and so it was nice. It was fun. It was kind of a reunion of sorts. Hey, how you doing? How you been? We're still living here, still working here. Boy, you're a loser because you haven't gone anywhere. You're a loser for coming back. That kind of stuff. Just fun kind of conversations. And now this new place I'm going to, I don't know anybody, and I know a few people who, surprisingly enough, who work there. I do know some people who work there. Actually, one person gave me a reference to come there, and so I've got that going for me. But I'm going to try to overlap the two jobs for as long as I can, kind of double dip from both of them. I'll be on the payroll for one for a little while before they really get me worked into the system, and then I can also kind of play the other one out for as long as I can. So see how that works out for me. We'll see how it goes. Again, we are faithful. Let's get into the news. Let's just go there. That's the best place to go at this point. We'll just go right to the news. A couple things. One is this whole Biden escapade with the classified documents. Now, two things happened. The border trip that Biden supposedly took, and now we're finding out more about that, which has just been ridiculous. This trip was again, the whole idea of political theater always weighs out much more powerful than anything else happens. It is so amazing to me the way they try to play the American people. It just disgusts me. And what bothers me more than anything about the whole process is that the American people just seem to be willing to be played. People are not paying attention here. What's going on? Now, I know people are busy. They have their lives and they go about their business. But what bothers me is what distracts some people. It's one thing if you're distracted by life and you're doing well and you're there. The people who are distracted mostly, the ones who are supporting these people. It's the people who are supporting them, who actually vote for this stuff. It's one thing to be kind of on the outs and be busy and not paying attention, but you at least have you're educated and you have a good sense about you've got some capacity. you know what's going on, basically. You can understand what's going on. And there's that. And then we have these individuals who are just distracted by hip-hop music and just parties and just debauchery. They're so caught up in silly things. I say silly. And I guess I don't understand. They hear the sound bites on, as they're listening to their crazy tunes. Some of the music today, I sound like an old man. It's like music you kids are listening to. Read the lyrics to this stuff. It's filthy, disgusting stuff. Not all of it, but a lot of it is. And there's always been that among some of the, even through the 70s and 80s, I know people were always complaining, oh, yeah, it was crazy, Led Zeppelin is the devil. It was just all that kind of stuff, you hear those kinds of things. And if you play it backwards, it sounds like this, and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Don't bother playing it backwards, just play it forwards and listen to the lyrics. That's bad enough. I hear people in the church complaining about things in the world all the time. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, how disgusting. Do you expect the world to be anything but the world? Do you really have higher expectations for the world? They're lost. They don't understand morality. Michael Knowles recently was being interviewed by some woke lady, and she was just aghast and disgusted by the fact that he was coming across with such high moral standards, and yet he didn't want to, she was talking about pregnant people, and he would call them a mother. She didn't want to call them, they may not want to be called a mother, so why are you calling them a mother? Why won't you call them a pregnant person? Maybe they don't want to be called a mother. And they got into this whole thing, and she finally started saying, how about his morality? You come across as being morally superior and blah, 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 but yet I want to include people and be inclusive. Good for you. But you're changing science. You're ignoring the fact that that person has a mental problem, because they can't identify as what they actually are. I was born a female, but I want to be a man. I feel like a man today. How do you know what a man feels like? You have this idea, this caricature of what you think a man is. This is what happens mostly of the time. Studies have shown that by far, there's a much larger number of men who identify as women than there are women who identify as men. It's a huge number. It's not even proportional. It's not at all. You'd think it'd be 50-50 if this was just a random biological thing that it was going on. A lot more men try to go into the trans thing. Transgender. And, you know, it's always this thing. And the men that I see who transition have this very strange idea of what a woman is that they try to portray. I don't see other women acting like that. I don't see women who were born women. I don't see them acting like this. It's over the top, effeminate. I don't see women acting that way. So what is going, it is a caricature of what they think a woman is. Their view of what they think a woman is what they're trying to portray.
Oh, how dare you? You know, they think that they're a woman and they can be a woman. Who says what a woman, who can define what a woman is?
Okay, whatever. If you're going to go down that road, then this conversation's over. If you're going to be that deluded, that delusional, then there's no use even arguing with you anymore. You're completely devoid of any kind of scientific method at all. Well, it's... yeah, whatever. Okay, I'll stop going down that road. Anyway, how did I get down that? How did I start going down that road? I was talking about Biden's border crossing, I think, or something. What was I talking about? So Joe Biden goes down to the border. And I put those in parentheses, your air quotes, if you could see me doing it. He didn't run into a single migrant. Didn't talk to a single one. He visited a migrant center in El Dorado. I don't know where it was. El Paso, maybe. No, just happened to be nobody in the facility at the time. Well, yes, there was actually somebody in the facility at the time. There just happened to be somebody there in the facility. He just never got to see them. There were kids there. There was like 150 of them. And he didn't get to see, didn't go talk to the kids. He didn't look at the kids. Didn't one day photo op with kids at the border. Now, stop and think about this for a moment. You start asking some questions here. Now, Joe Biden builds a wall around his home. He's in the process of doing that right now because, you know, for security purposes. Because a wall will stop people from intruding. Why would the left and the news media on the left, the administration on the left, all be so interested in just letting people come across the border? They just walk across, they get asylum right away. Unless you're from a country that really where you need asylum, they're more likely to send you back to those places, by the way, because those people know what real socialism or collectivism is. They live under these tyrants that collectivism and socialism is fertile ground to develop dictators, people who want to lord over you and become your parents, the benevolent dictator, and then it becomes the next person who steps in. I mean, when you look at Venezuela, Hugo Chavez was, by many thought he was the benevolent dictator. He provided health care free of charge for everybody. That's the way they get in the door. Who brought that in, by the way? Who was the one who pushed that through? The first one who tried was Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton had all of a sudden came up with this 30,000-page bill when Bill Clinton got, you know, she was the first lady. All of a sudden, she came up with this bill. Who was she? Everybody was kind of offended by that, by the way, because she was like, who are you to be introducing legislation? She was just a defunct lawyer, by the way, at the time. And she came up with this single-payer health insurance. It's called Hillary Care. Well, it didn't go through too well. Of course, then after the Clintons got out of office, we had Bush for 8 years. And after Bush, guess who popped in the door? Obama. And all of a sudden, we had Obamacare. And he finally got it in. Got it across the goal line at the last quarter of his presidency. And then it broke loose. Premiums started going up on health insurance. People started reducing their deductibles, sometimes up to $10,000 deductible. Well, in the course of a year, you're basically paying out of pocket now. Now you have catastrophic health insurance. It's all you can afford, basically. And you're paying for everything else out of your pocket. Now think about that. If you have a family with two or three, four kids, every day they're having boo-boos every day. You know, every week you're probably going to go to the doctor with one of them. It's just, if you got them in the public school system, you're probably going. If you got a bunch of kids, you're probably going every other week. Getting sick all the time. And they're always going to fall down and hurt themselves, or something's going to happen. Because, you know, they're kids. And the whole point of Obamacare, and he said it himself, he said it was a way to get to single, actually some of his aides were recorded saying, yeah, well, we knew Obamacare wasn't going to take care of it. We knew that the Affordable Health Care Plan wasn't going to take care of it. It was a way to get us to single payer. They knew it was going to fail. It was designed to do something, which was to try to take over regulatory control and have authority over the insurance companies. And then they could step in with the fix would be, well, the government just needs to step in and take care of this for you. Because obviously the private health insurance companies just aren't doing it. Now, we were going to try to help them out, but they're not working with us. And so they're not doing their job. So we're going to step in and take care of this for you. They always create a crisis that they have the answer for. So here we have the situation now with the border. They're letting these people across. Why would they just want to have an open border like that? Well, their theory is they're letting in Democrat voters. Now, here's the question I have to ask for you. This is the thing that really gets me about this whole leftist agenda and the way they have to force it down our throats. The thing that bothers me about this is if you have a way of life, if you have a philosophy of life, if you have a system, an ideology that is superior, that's the best way for people to live, you can make your case, you can debate that case, and you can win people over and they will vote for it. But that's not what the left does. The left has to pander. They have to bribe you with free stuff. See, this is what we're here for as they rise to the top. We're here for you. Thanks for giving us all this power over you. See, we're going to give you this stuff. Now you can give us more power. You can be our slaves now. You owe us now because we gave you this stuff. You owe us your vote. You've got to keep us in power. So we can keep the money flowing from Ukraine. So this is their thinking. Their thinking is we're letting more people across the border so we can get more voters. Well, why are you concerned about getting more voters? Why don't you just get voters from the you know, just convince these people, these evil people on the right, these individualists. By the way, Obama hated individualists. He hated them. There was a couple speeches where he literally mocked them. A lot of people didn't notice it. It was there, very plain. I should find the speeches that he made. It's when you recognize what he's actually saying, he is very, very cynical towards anybody who thinks that an individualist that he did not like individualism, not at all. He was a collectivist through and through. Still is, by the way, still alive. So he's a very much a collectivist. That's what this whole, actually, he was, you know, when you get into the different brands of collectivism, you can get into Marxism and socialism. Somebody will say, well, that's Marxism. Well, no, that's socialism. It's not Marxism, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, it's more Leninism, whatever. It's all collectivism. There's just different brands of it. It's kind of like saying you're Baptist, and you got to go into whether you're Southern Baptist or whatever, or you know, you're Mennonite. Well, are you conservative Mennonite, or you're old conference Mennonite? Just all those kinds of things. It's kind of like it's almost like a religious denomination in some ways. Collectivism is collectivism. Period. The founders of the nation didn't really define what, you know. They didn't say anything about socialism. They didn't say anything about Marxism. All, you know, they knew what collectivism was. They knew what dictatorships were. That's what they were trying to push back against. They experienced it firsthand. So, we have these people coming across the border, just letting them in. Because the left, that's the only way the left can get votes, they think. Now, unfortunately, a lot of them come across the border and they realize, hey, this is, you guys are doing the same thing that our, now the theory is, that, of course, their theory is, well, you know, socialism never really worked anywhere. We don't have an example of socialism work because they never had a good start. This is the only way we can start it is by starting from a country that's already rich. Oh, so we're rich. How did we get rich? Evil capitalism. They call it capitalism because it's easy to say. It's evil. It's evil. However, let's be very clear here. There's a difference between what they call crony capitalism and real, what actual capitalism. Capitalism, really, the way I like to call it is free market. The open free market. And yes, there has to be some regulatory things put in place so that the free market doesn't do evil things. And in other words, they don't take away people's rights and they still have to be able to keep from overstepping their bounds of what their rights are, what an individual's rights are, which is what the government is supposed to be there for, is to protect our individual rights. The problem is you get this position of crony capitalism, which is where these big companies start working with government officials to get their way. This is called lobbying. It goes beyond lobbying. Actually, lobbying in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it. The problem we have is that the lobby groups start to have great influence over campaigns, keeping people in power. They don't talk to people as representatives anymore. They talk to them as individuals, which, here we go again, is a problem. They might say something like, hey, you know, if you vote for this, you know, we're not going to contribute to your campaign, but where would you like your new washer and dryer sent? Oh, to my house? Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah. What's your address? We'll send you a new washer and dryer. Huh? What are you talking about? Never mind. We'll just send you a washer and dryer. We're not bribing you or anything. This is just our gift to you. We just want to show our appreciation to you. By the way, here's your new car. How do you think these people who make $150,000 or $200,000 a year in Congress all of a sudden turn around and they're millionaires in a couple of years? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy Cortez, was complaining her first year. She was, when she first got into office and she moved to Washington, and she was there for like 6 months. We can't afford to live here. It's too expensive. We need to be getting some kind of subsidy for housing. Housing's so expensive. How do these people afford housing? Can't afford my apartment. I got a little apartment. I can't even afford it. You don't hear her complaining about that anymore, do you? You don't hear her talking about that anymore. She has a Tesla now. Brand new. She bought it brand new. Things are tough there for you, aren't you? AOC, the hip-hop artist AOC. MTG. You know, I don't get it. I guess I'm KJP. Because I don't want to be KJP because that's Karine Jean-Pierre. KJP. They're calling her KJP, by the way, now. Anyway, so we have this stuff's going on. You have to add this, I ask a lot of questions about these kinds of things. Why? What's going on here? I'm not trying to come up with any solutions. I kind of have my ideas, but you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a geopolitical analyst. I'm not a financial counselor or a life coach. I'm not a hydraulic scientist. I just want to, you know, ask these questions, because sometimes the questions say more about what the answers are. I'll let you draw your own conclusions. Well, occasionally I'll draw some conclusions. Actually, I draw conclusions quite a bit, come to think of it. You don't have to agree with my conclusions. You just have to nod your head and smile and pretend like I'm, you know, just have to entertain me here for a minute. Amuse me. I think it's time for a sip of tea. There we go. Yeah, that's definitely got some apple cider in there. That's good. Yeah, that's good for the old. That's good for the pipes. So, we have that's one thing, you know, that's happening here. Now, that leads right into this whole thing of how government works and what the things that they do. Let's talk about that a little bit. We have, unfortunately, we have a administration now, all of a sudden, that wants to ban gas stoves, gas appliances in your home. Not just in your home, I think it's across the board. I think they actually want to, in restaurants, commercial properties, everything, they want to ban gas stoves. Like, I think it starts next year, in a couple of years, they want to put a ban on, so there's no gas stoves. This is the Environmental Protection Agency, or whoever it is that's doing this. This is all happening all at once, and all at the same time that all this is coming out, that they want to do this, all of a sudden they have these experts now on CNN talking about how, well, you know, this one guy makes this famous statement. I can't believe someone has the audacity to come on as an expert. He's a regular guy on there, but he's supposedly some kind of expert in scientific study. Well, you know, the science, we have the science now to back us up on this. All kinds of studies show that, you know, cooking with a gas stove in your kitchen is just like having a car right there idling in the kitchen. No, sir, it is not. If you think you're going to pull that kind of wool over my eyes, I dare you to close up your garage, start your car, and spend 10 minutes in there like you're cooking an egg. Like you're boiling water or something. See how long you last. It is not like having a car idling in your kitchen. They're claiming now that the food, because you're burning food. Well, okay, if you're burning food, then you're doing something wrong, first of all. And you can burn food, by the way, with an electric stove. I know from firsthand experience. Cooking with gas is actually way, 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 way more efficient than cooking with electricity. If you've ever had now the electric stoves now today are much better about heating up, like the induction stoves and those kinds of things. They work really well. However, it's still, as soon as you turn on a gas stove, you have heat immediately. It's right there. If you turn on an electric stove, good luck. It's going to be a little while before it heats up to the point where it will actually start to get hot on the pan. You can control the heat on a gas stove much easier. I mean, you go from high to low, and it's immediate. A gas cooktop stove stays, or an electric cooktop stays hot quite a while afterwards. You shut it off, and it's still hot. So don't give me this baloney. We've been using gas stoves all across the country for years. A lot longer than electric stoves. You know, any kind of electric appliance or gas appliance has its own inherent dangers. And all of these things, it's just part of life. You can't just, you know, if you want to be safe, try to stay in bed for a while. I guess you'll never get out of bed. And that has its own inherent dangers as well. People do die in bed occasionally. But I digress. So, as we look at this, you know, why all of a sudden do we have everybody coming out, all these experts all of a sudden on the lamestream media, that none of them are pushing back on this thing? Not a single one. They're not coming out and saying anything about it. Now, on Fox News, they do. There's people pushing back on that one, only because this is, you know, this is more than woke left, and they know that there's an audience for people who are going to push back. So they're... But why? Why all of a sudden is this concerted effort, in other words, this joint effort from all these... It's almost like they're walking lockstep, isn't it? It's kind of... Why are they all of a sudden in on this? They're all in the tank for this. Why? How does that happen? Well, here's a little ditty for you. There's a company behind this. It is a company that is committed to green energy. I can't think of the name of the company right now. I should have written it down when I ran across this article. I didn't write it down. It's something. It's kind of a company, kind of like BlackRock. They're behind a lot of things right now involving legislation that are pro green earth, kind of, you know, that kind of stuff. Trying to make money off of the whole thing. They're behind funding a lot of this stuff. They're funding a lot of politicians. And they're, much like Pfizer, donating a lot of money to things and buying their way in. They're supporting a lot of news media organizations and that kind of thing. They're greasing the wheels, in other words. They have something to gain here. Because they're involved in the investment side of electric cooktops. It's always about the money trail, folks. People who want to be in power, to have politicians in their pocket. And this goes on and on and on. That's how the whole game works, folks. They play both sides of a candle. I mean, that's not really a saying. I'm just making that up right now. It's going to catch on, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to play both sides of the candle. You know, do you play either side of a candle? No. Well, we're going to. So this is the way the game works, and it's just one of those fine examples. It's a case study in how politics works, typically, and how it's tied so directly to the mainstream legacy media, and people don't even think about it. It's just all of a sudden, this is an issue. This is an issue all of a sudden. Why all of a sudden is this an issue? But everybody's on board with it. Nobody's pushing back. Nobody's questioning it. Nobody's saying anything about it. They're just all on board. Oh, yeah, you got a car sitting there idling in your kitchen. Maybe I like that. Maybe I'll just do that. I'll just build my kitchen. Build a car. Put my car in the middle of a kitchen. Build a kitchen around a car. So, we have that. Now, let's get into this whole Biden document issue. Classified documents. This is a very bizarre thing to me. What's really, really bizarre is that it even saw the light of day. How any reporter, how anybody reported on it or even brought it up is amazing to me. Now, so there's a lot of questions there. Are they trying to distract us from something else? Have some people behind the scenes now? Is this something the FBI knew about, the Secret Service knew about, somebody else knew about, and now they're saying, hey, we got to get rid of Biden. We got to get him out of office. We got to get Kamala in there before the two years. He's not going to run again. We don't want him running again. We either got to get him out of there. If he announces he's going to run, then you know we got to set something up here to make it so that we can get him out of office or discourage him from running again. Or we got to get Kamala in there before the end of the year so that we can have the first female black president, because that's the feather in their cap, because that way it shows that they're not racist or misogynist. It's there. That's their they can rise to the top of the case and say, "Oh, look, we voted for we put the first." Because that's all they care about. They don't care whether she's qualified or not. That doesn't matter or not. Clarence Thomas, apparently, They were making statements on the House floor that they had the first black justice. Appointed to the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas isn't black? What's going on here? So everything that they see is all about race. Everything is about race with them. And now, of course, they bring up the gender issues because that's another part of this. That's a segment of the population they think that they can own. They own you because after all, we're for you. So you know we own you. You have to vote for us. It's just the way they work. It's their operations, their standard operating procedure. Now, let's talk about this whole Biden classified document thing because I have about 2 million questions about this whole thing. Just nothing adds up on this whole thing. So somehow accidentally, you're telling me accidentally, classified documents got stuffed in a box as Joe Biden was leaving the White House. Now, Joe Biden was vice president when he was in the White House. He doesn't have any kind of authority to classify or declassify. He can classify documents. He cannot unclassify documents. Only the president can do that. Or he can do it by proxy if there's something in writing that the president gives him the authority to do so. He did not have any authority to do so. These were classified documents. Somehow they got out of the White House into a box, moved to a location. We have no idea whether they were secure or not. And then they got moved again to they're calling it the UPenn Center, which is the Penn Biden Center. And if we look into the financial history of the Penn Biden Center, then it gets even more creepy. Because of the way the Chinese were involved in the Penn Biden Center. Joe Biden, I think, was making $1 million a year to be there as a speaker. He wasn't a professor there. He wasn't teaching there. They make it sound like he teaches there. He goes in like once a year and makes a speech for like an hour, mumbles and bumbles along. And they were paying him $1 million for doing that. I don't know if it's $1 million per. I don't know it needs to be investigated. And what's the money trail there? What's happening there? A lot of money from the CCP was coming in to pay for that center, by the way. Strange. Very strange. The former dean of Penn State suddenly became the ambassador to China. Just some very weird things going on there. How all this works. Now, the other side of this issue is, of course, apparently these documents were discovered on November 2nd, right before the election, this last year, right before the midterm election. My guess is someone knew about it before that. Now, who was going through these documents? And who discovered that they were classified? How did they know they were classified? Was it just a folder that said classified? And if it had a folder that said classified, how in the world did it get in that box? I'll guarantee you, it didn't just get there by itself. Somebody put it there. And somebody knows who put it there. And somebody, whoever did put it there, knows they put it there. There needs to be an investigation into how those files got to where they did. Oh, it happens all the time. That's understandable how an accident like that can happen. Okay, it's understandable how an accident like that can happen. It can't happen again. If these are classified sensitive documents with sensitive information about Ukraine and Iran, so we're being told. Well, there was only 10, and Trump had 180. I don't care if it's one. There was a, and I wish I had the sound clip. I was going to get the sound clip for this. If I would have been home, I would have been able to get this sound clip for you. One of the specialists on CNN was on there saying, You know, whether he knew the documents were there or not doesn't matter. This is what he was talking about, the Trump administration. So about Trump. Whether he knew the documents were there or not, ignorance is not, you know, not a abolition of guilt. He's still guilty. You know, still needs to go to prison because he had those documents. Possession is, you know, it's not 9/10 of the law, by the way. I don't know who came up with that whole stupid statement. I think it was in a movie somewhere. But having possession of it is against the law. That's what they were trying to tell us, that President Trump having those documents was against the law. And he obstructed the National Archives from getting them back. No, he didn't. He was in negotiation with them about what documents they could have and what he wanted to go through certain documents and he had certain things there he wanted to keep and go through, and he was going to return things, and he just wanted to be on his timeline the National Archive Association, NRA, whatever it is, alphabet soup thing. They wanted their documents back right away. So they discovered this idea of, well, what we're going to do is going to raid his place and say that he's got these top secret documents. This was a plan concocted by somebody. This wasn't standard, normal operating procedure for the U.S. for the government to do this, something like this. This was unprecedented for the Justice Department to raid a former president's home. They just had to figure out how they were going to play it in the media. And once they got that all figured out, then they went ahead and raided it. This was all, you know, in the process of making him look like he was, this is all the whole January 6th thing and all that stuff was all heating up, and that wasn't doing what they wanted it to, so they had to have some other thing they had to go after. So we have all this stuff happening. And it just goes on and on. And then you have, and what's even more bizarre about this whole Biden document story here, this is the other thing that really, I guess, goes even a little further into this whole thing. They discover more documents. His aides, someplace else, and they won't tell us where these documents were. Just moments. Now, my question is, did they already discover these other documents? And so they had to bring it, so somebody had to say, well, he had these documents over here because they already knew that there was documents somewhere else. So they're trying to bring this kind of all up at the same time so they can kind of confuse everybody on it so they can get it all out there. Or is this a concerted effort to get him out of office? They know he's got these documents. The FBI has been well known for things like the Hunter Biden laptop that they all of a sudden said, yeah, it's not Russian. It's actually probably legitimate. And oh, by the way, he's got classified documents. And oh, by the way, oh, by the way, oh, by the way, this, this, and this. Maybe he should be impeached. Maybe we should get him out of office. His usefulness to us is now over. We need to work with the administration to get someone else in. These are the kind of communications that were going on in the upper levels of the FBI when they didn't like Trump being in office. This was prior to the 2016 election. They obviously had a bias towards Hillary Clinton winning. They had an insurance policy against Trump. The Steele dossier that Hillary Clinton paid for, by the way. The Hillary Clinton campaign paid for. Don't tell me she didn't know what was going on with that. Well, I don't know. I wasn't running the campaign. I was just, you know, I had somebody else running it for me. What difference at this point does it make? So, as we do this, we have to ask some questions. And the real question here is, will there be an investigation? Will there be a raid of any of his other homes? Is anybody going to go through anything else that he has stashed around in other places? How did those documents get there? And how well secured were they? And who had access to them? And who saw them? How many other documents had already been through a shredder? How many documents had been passed on to the Chinese? Were these documents being used as leverage to get money from the Chinese or from the Iranian government? What kind of nefarious activity was going on with this stuff? Oh, it was just a simple mistake. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he's Joe Biden. Because we know, you know, Donald Trump is a liar and a crook. Oh, we know that because he's been investigated more than anybody ever in the planet. And still, he's walking around free. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who's, you know, I don't see the guy as being squeaky clean morally or anything else, but apparently he hasn't done a whole lot of things illegally. Because they'd have him in jail. If he jaywalked someplace, they'd have him in jail tonight. They'd be perp walking him, they'd have him in jail for life. Because Donald Trump is guilty of being Donald Trump. That's all they care about. But I digress. So, I will just leave you with all of that. It is Thursday. We still have Friday, hopefully. Tomorrow morning I'll be doing the show. Hopefully, tomorrow morning's the live show, by the way. Should be live tomorrow. I don't know if next Friday, I think we'll be able to be live. I'm not sure where I'm going to be next Friday. But tomorrow I will be home. And in theory, I will be able to do a live show tomorrow morning, which means it probably won't be super early because by the time I get I got to get the squirrels to run around in the cage, get the generator running. I got a Briggs & Stratton computer. I got to get started up and fired up and warmed up, get all that stuff running. Hopefully it'll all work. And I'll be able to do the show live and see how that goes. So in the meantime, folks, have a great day. And I will try to get this thing posted. I've been getting better results with the Wi-Fi here at the hotel recently. So hopefully today I'll be able to get this posted pretty quickly, and you'll have a show for the rest of the day. So I do appreciate people listening. I've noticed that listenership is continuing to go up. It's been kind of fun. People apparently want to listen to my stories about all the kind of crazy stuff I talk about. So that's always kind of fun. That's encouraging. So I'll continue to do this, and I'll continue to tap on the table. In the meantime, God bless. Have a great day. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders, especially our religious leaders, who seem to have no spine. And we will continue on. We'll continue to forge our way through this great adventure that we call life. God bless, folks. Have a great day.